Hey y'all, so today we're talking about confession. And so we're going through this process, this framework that I coined as far as like my process to receive healing and restoration after an abortion. And I talk about how it's not just for those who have, you know, had an abortion. And so step four is confession. We've talked about repentance. We've talked about forgiving yourself, receiving forgiveness for God. And then the third, repentance, forgiveness, confession. So now we're on confession. And did you know that you can repent and not confess? And so I just want to clarify that, because I think in a previous video, I mentioned how repentance is, like, a part of repentance is confessing, right? But you can repent and not confess, and you can confess and not repent. And to confess means to acknowledge what you have done, to confide in. It means to declare or to decree or to disclose information. It's also to acknowledge what you have done, to confide in someone, to profess or to reveal information. And one definition is to disclose your sin to a person in order to receive forgiveness from God. And so confession is just about you doing a mouth practice, something that you practice with your mouth, right? But when we're talking about repentance, repentance goes beyond merely confessing. Repentance is when you confess to God, but it also includes and incorporates a turning away from that thing that you are confessing. It includes a decision and a commitment to not do it again. And so many times we think we can, you know, take the easy way out, right? I'm just going to confess and tell somebody I did this thing, right? And we try to leave it at that. And or sometimes we're like, oh, I'm just going to repent. Like, God, I repent for the sin of X, Y, and Z. And we're doing it, and nothing's wrong with confessing to God until, like, we're doing it out of a place of secrecy, if that makes sense. So you're not doing it out of a pure heart. You're really doing it because it's like, let me just tell God. And so no one else knows. Let me just tell God. And you know that your motive isn't right behind that thing. And so I know I thought that I could just take the easy way out. I'm just going to say, Lord, I repent. I'm sorry for X, Y, and Z. I repent to God in my heart. But for me, it was more than just repenting to God. It was more, I needed to do more, right? Because it was still that secrecy that was holding me hostage. And so for months and months, I still find myself, after confessing to God, after repenting, I still found myself in a place where I was struggling with condemnation. I was struggling with the shame. I still found myself feeling condemned, right? And I was ashamed still after receiving forgiveness from God, after confessing and all of those things. And I still felt the heaviness almost daily, y'all. And I had tried to take the easy way out and just repent in my heart. And I didn't want to confess with my mouth, right? And, you know, and I think it's important that we talk about that, because even when it comes to like the basic foundation, you know, principle of salvation, right? I think it's important that we say we not only confess with our mouth, but we have to believe that thing in our heart. And so I think it's similar to repentance. When you decide to repent, you're not just doing it, the piece where you're just confessing with your mouth. You also have to change your heart. You have to change the posture of your heart. You have to believe that you are free. You have to commit to transformation happening. And for me, the reason why I think confession is so important, alongside of true repentance, is because secret sin is dangerous. And I know for me, I didn't want to let anybody else know. And so you can think that you are free from something, but if you're still being secretive about it, you still don't want people to know, you still don't want to share that information, it shows that you haven't fully, you know, dealt with something, or you haven't fully overcome, or you haven't fully healed from that thing. Because just the thought of you mentioning it, just the thought of, you know, you saying it, it may cause you to feel a certain type of way. And so let's go to Nehemiah chapter 9. And in Nehemiah 9, the children of Israel, they had to confess their sins so that they could receive freedom and restoration. It says, as they were together fasting, they had to set themselves apart from everybody else, right? And they confessed their sins. And not only did they confess their sins, but they also confessed the sins of their fathers. They confessed that they were a rebellious generation who did everything wrong. And they confessed that they also dismissed the warnings that God had given to them, that God had so compassionately given to them. And they confessed how they turned their backs on God. They had to confess how they turned their back on him. And then they drew up a whole pledge, right? Made a whole covenant with God. After they had done this, they were restored. And so sometimes we try to, you know, avoid the whole public confession. But here in Nehemiah 9, and we also talked about this in another video where we talked about the people of Nineveh, how they corporately came together to repent and how they had to confess their sins. And in these cases, they did these things together publicly as one in community and unity with one another. And they began to, you know, confess, like, Lord, I have been a rebellious person. We have been a rebellious generation, a rebellious city. We have been wicked. We have chose to not heed to the warnings that you've given us. We have made a decision to ignore you. We have made a decision to follow our flesh. We have made these different decisions, and they all had to confess. So you see that in Nehemiah 9. You see that in the story of Jonah with the people of Nineveh. And so y'all can go and read that story in Nehemiah 9. In verses 1-3. And I can testify, y'all, to the healing and restorative power of confession. That's why I put that as a part of the process. I believe it's so important, because for the longest, I had been carrying my sin secretly, and I had been keeping it hidden from others. And I had basically ended up delaying my healing. I had delayed my freedom. I had delayed the restoration that was promised to me because I was disobedient, because I was worrying about what everyone else thought, because I was refusing to confess every time the opportunity was presented to me. And so, and y'all, FYI, I'm at the pool, so y'all probably hear my children in the background. So every time the opportunity of confession was presented to me, I would like get very, very fearful. Pride would come up. It was just a thing where I was like, oh, Lord, the anxiety, the heaviness. I'm like, I can't tell people this stuff. Like, I don't want to mention it. I don't want to say it, all of the things. And I remember being on a podcast, and a girl who was interviewing me, she asked a very good question that I want to also address. I address it often, but I also want to address it on this video. And she was asking me, was like, why public confession, right? Why public confession? And it really boils down to your heart when it comes to this public versus private confession, which one you think is right, which one you prefer, all of the things. It boils down to your heart. For me, it was very, very simple. It was because the secrecy of the sin. It was because I didn't want people to know, because guess what, In your heart, you know that if people know, people can judge. In your heart, you know if people find out, then they can, you know what I'm saying, view you differently. And so because that was the thing that I was struggling with, what other people thought, other people's opinion, how they would feel, what they would think of me, would I still be considered a leader? All of these things, because I was caring about what other people thought and things of that nature. I was caring about people being disappointed in me and all of those things. Because I cared about those things, I thought it was very important for me to expose the sin, right? Let's just deal with all aspects. Let's deal with all aspects. And then also, if you go to Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, it says that he that covereth the sins shall not prosper. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. And so it continues to say, but who's confessed it? Whoso confess it and forsake it, them shall have mercy. And so even this scripture alone tells me that there is an importance to confession. Because if you keep trying to hide your sin because you don't want people, you don't want to deal with the consequences, you don't want to face exposure, you don't want to deal with the backlash and all of the things, if you continue to try to hide that thing, it says those people who forsake it will not have mercy. And so confession is important for the forgiveness and the mercies of God. And we see that in Proverbs chapter 28. And so that was a huge reason, like simply put, that's why I chose public confession versus, like, you know what I'm saying, the private confession. And like I said, it boils down to your heart. So you may truly receive your freedom, your healing, and your restoration by not doing public confession. But for me, it was necessary because it dealt with the root of the pride. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And let's get into what's needed to confess. Okay. And so when we talk about what's needed for confession, a huge piece of that is courage. I think we talked in a different video about how humility is needed to confess. Because pride will hinder you from confessing. Pride will hinder you from making the decision to get set free. So you really need boldness. You really need courage. And it may seem simple at face value to confess and to have accountability, but it is impossible to do either without immense courage. Oh, and I forgot, we did talk about community already. And so in this process, it's repentance. I don't know if y'all see my fingers. It's repentance, it's forgiveness, it's community, and confession. And so we're on step four now. And so it is impossible to do confession. It's impossible to have accountability without immense courage, which is not the absence of fear, but the determination to do the right thing despite of. And you must have the courage to confess, or you will remain in a place of secrecy. And that secret sin is highly dangerous, right? And so many times we keep from confession because of fear. We fear the opinions of others as opposed to the word of God. We lack the fear of God. Also, we understand that courage is to disregard fear and to have a certain tenacity of or boldness. Courage is necessary to move beyond shame. Okay, so if we're talking about courage, we also got to talk about like boldness. We also have to talk about having tenacity. We also have to talk about like letting go of pride, overcoming pride to move forward, to do the thing that we are supposed to do. And one of my favorite examples of courage to confess in the Bible is the story of Esther, right? Esther had to have some courage, y'all. Our girl Esther, she had to have courage to confess in order to save an entire people group, right? And we see that in her story, courage literally overcomes fear. Fear of rejection, fear of judgment, fear of abandonment, fear of exposure, even fear of, you know, death. Because Esther, it wasn't as simple as, oh, she was fearing judgment, like in the sense of like, oh, people are going to judge me if they find out I'm a Jew. No, she was, the fear of judgment is like, you're going to die if you go to this man and he hasn't sent for you. You know what I'm saying? And so she had to overcome the fear of death, right? And exposure in order to save her entire people group. And because of her obedience, because of her courage, she was able to find favor. And so I think that's another thing we have to mention, that when we're talking about courage, when you have courage, you now are able to receive favor, right? Courage is a key that accesses doors to favor, whether that's favor from man or favor from God. And so she was able to find favor with the king because of her confession. And she confesses her secret of being a Jew. And she explains that there's a plot against her people. And we all know her story. And because of her courage, she saved the Jews. And they were able to write another decree that the Jewish people would be able to defend themselves against the decree that was previously written. And we also see that the same people who could be plotting against you, when you are courageous, those same ones who are plotting against you to kill you, to destroy you, to ruin your reputation, to talk about you, those people will be put to shame. And in this case, the person plotting against her and her people were put to death. You know what I'm saying? So it can get to that level, you know what I'm saying, if we don't, but it takes courage to get there. And I'll leave y'all with these last two things because my background is really loud. In Psalm chapter 32, verses 2 through 5, it says, "Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputed not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my rowing all the day long. For the day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah." And it continues to say, "I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and thine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah." And so I want y'all to look at Psalm 32, verses 2 through 5, because I believe it's a powerful, another powerful message, another powerful prayer from David. And we broke down Psalm 51 in another video, and we talked about like the need for vulnerability, the need for confession, the need to cry out for mercy, the need to ask for God's forgiveness, the need to expose ourselves. And so it's important because, you know, y'all, my child. And we talked about how he was like, when I kept silent, when I didn't confess, when I didn't expose the thing, my bones waxed old and there was a heaviness that was ever before me day and night, right? But then he started to say like, but once I acknowledge my sin, once I ask for forgiveness, once I confess my transgression, the Lord forgave him for his sin. Okay. And so that was one. And then the last thing, as you confess your sin, you have to also break the covenant that was made with the result of that sin, which is death, right? Because we know that sin leads to death. And also many sins can put you into covenant with a specific demonic spirit. And because we just lack the knowledge, we may not understand, or we may not believe, or we may not even know that because I had an abortion, I made a covenant with, you know, a demon. You know what I'm saying? If you look at, I think it's in the book of Kings, you start to read about Anemalek. I think I'm saying Anemalek. Most people for short call him Molech, but the full name was Anemalek in Kings. And it talks about how this was this demon or this god of child sacrifice. And so when you have an abortion, knowingly or unknowingly, you come into covenant with this demon of child sacrifice. And so as you are repenting and confessing, you also must come out of agreement with the things that you came into agreement with when you decided to commit that sin. And so, for example, I gave the example already. And so, yeah, that's what I leave y'all with. And I'm going to let y'all go. And hopefully y'all could hear me on this video. And we shall see y'all in the next one. Now that we've covered the RFCC method, we've talked about repentance, forgiveness, community, and confession. In the next video, we're going to start breaking down one of my favorite scriptures that once we begin this process of healing, once we go through this process and begin to get restored, we want to talk about, you know, what's next. How do I continue to maintain a life of purity now that I have repented and renounced the works of the flesh, now that I have confessed my sin, now that I am intentionally striving toward freedom and remaining pure and remaining holy? What's next? And I'm going to talk to y'all about one of my favorite scriptures in James chapter 4. So make sure y'all come back for the next one. All right, bye y'all.